They should auction a lot of things online. One of the things they might want to auction are takeoff and landing slots. And my next guest knows a little bit about that. He's a regular on our show, Scott McCartney from the Wall Street Journal. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
You know, I've always said, and you and I guarantee we're going to get into this, because the FAA publishes for every airport in America what they think the runway capacity is for that airport, for the runways that they have. And if you take a look at those numbers, I actually happen to think the FAA is delusional. I mean, if you were running combat aircraft operations on an aircraft carrier, you couldn't handle that capacity on a runway. Because when you think of the separation involved, maybe a minute to a minute and a half at the least between takeoffs, that means the most you can handle in any given hour, assuming the weather is great and there's no other congestion or delays, is maybe 31 planes. Maybe. And those numbers are much higher than that quoted by the FAA. And what happens then? The airlines schedule for those numbers, and we all know what happens after that. You're sitting on the plane going nowhere.
Well, the numbers that they publish, they can do on good weather days. There's a great debate over whether the numbers are too high or too low. The real problem is they don't deliver what they say they're going to deliver. To a certain extent, I think you're right, but I think they can do a lot better. There are a lot of inefficiencies in the system. There ought to be systems in place that will handle things better when bad weather strikes.
Well, forgetting the bad weather, let's come up with a blue sky day, right? It's a totally clear day, 20/20 visibility, no cold, no rain, no mechanical delays. I mean, we're talking a perfect day.
Yeah.
Now run me through that.
Perfect day, they ought to be able to hit the numbers they publish.
All right, and how many perfect days have we had in the history since the Wright brothers?
Well, you can probably count them on your hand. And, everybody's definition of perfect is wrong.
I know.
The problem, one of the problems the FAA has is you can have a thunderstorm over Ohio,
and
that messes up New York airports.
Exactly.
And so is that something that we want to live with, or is that a problem that we want to fix? And I think the real debate is that's something that shouldn't happen, that ought to be fixed.
I agree with you. Now, in a story that you wrote recently, you were covering a suggestion out there, which is being bitterly debated, about whether they should auction off what they call takeoff and landing times, otherwise known as flight slots.
Right. The government wants to auction landing slots at the key New York airports that are so grossly congested, and they think that'll produce a more efficient system. Airlines see it as simply a tax on them, that it'll raise their costs. And so they are fighting it bitterly. It's a really interesting question, because the way they charge for landings and at airports now is by weight. And so a smaller plane pays less than a larger plane.
Except it takes up the same space on the radar screen.
It takes up the same space on the radar screen, same time on the runway. All the costs are the same from the government's point of view for the small airplane. And so why should the system favor smaller planes? At LaGuardia Airport, half of the takeoffs and landings are on jets that are fewer than 100 seats. And that's a bit of lunacy that I do think we have to get rid of in the system, where, congested airports just can't handle. They ought to have fewer flights with larger airplanes as opposed to more flights with smaller airplanes.
All right, so let me suggest this, okay? I'm now running the FAA, or running some sort of a regulatory agency that can actually get in on this during deregulation, and I want to change the rules. And I want to say to the Port Authority in New York and the guys who run the airport in O'Hare and the LA Bureau of Airports in California, say, okay, look, you know your airport better than I do. You know what your runways can handle in any given hour. You tell me what that number is, and I'll go by that number, and then I'll tell the airlines, okay, you got 30 departures in this hour, and you get the one at 8:04, and you get the one at 8:08, and you get the one at 8:12. And we don't really care whether you put a little RJ on with your Captain Skippy or a 747. That's your choice of what kind of piece of metal you want to put on the runway. But that's the time slot you got. What's wrong with that idea?
Well, if you're at the airport, you do care, because you want as many people coming through your airport as possible. So you want a system that favors bigger planes. If you have a scarce number of gates, You want, you know, big planes on those gates, not little planes. I think it's the same if you're the federal government and you have an overriding need to make maximum use of the few airports that you have in cities. And you know, to some extent, the airline looks at it differently. How can we make the most money? Well, if we have the small RJ and our costs at the airport are less and we can charge high fares because we've limited the number of seats and we provide high frequency, which business travelers want, multiple flights, two flights with 50 seats are a whole lot more profitable for an airline than one flight with 150 seats. And that may not be the outcome we want.
Which is sort of counterintuitive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. But essentially, they're, you know, the airline, everybody talks about access to small communities and all. The airline is limiting the number of seats in those communities by using small planes rather than large planes.
Wow. I mean, you know, I wonder, because it also gets into areas of scheduling, Scott. For example, everybody wants to schedule a flight leaving at 8 o'clock, not 8:01, not 8:02. They sometimes play games and schedule a flight at 7:59 in the morning because they want to be the first on their block, and nobody's leaving at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, that's right, because they're all stuck in a conga line of 40 jets. But you know, at the same time, the airlines do charge a premium for leaving at 8 o'clock or leaving at 5 o'clock on Friday. Fares are higher on those flights than if you leave at 2 p.m. on Tuesday.
Yeah, but I don't have a problem with that.
Well, then why shouldn't it be the same for the airport?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Aren't you glad we agree?
Yeah.
I just think somebody has to do something so that there's an economic consequence for stupidly scheduling planes.
Yeah, I think that's not sure you can expect the airlines to not overschedule. This is an area where the government has to exercise its authority. It has to decide, okay, what is the capacity that it can handle? And the sad reality is the capacity, particularly at the New York airports, that the government can handle has gone down over the years. They used to get more flights in and out of Kennedy and LaGuardia, and they're not. And so we've got a real problem.
Well, Scott, I want you to stay on top of the story and try not to be delayed about it, okay?
Okay.
Hey, Scott McCartney from the Wall Street Journal, our pal and a regular on the show. Thanks, man.